Good morning. Good morning. Today's scripture reading is from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Hear the word of the Lord. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away, even while they go about their business. The word of God for the people of God.
I know a lot of people have talked about the fact that, you know, they complain that they're short. You know, I oftentimes, being at 6 foot, I'll be at the store and they say, "Can you reach that?" And it's like, yeah, if I was 2 foot taller. Have you ever noticed Walmart seems to keep making these shelves bigger and higher? It's like they don't want people to shop up there. That's what I'm honestly convinced. Anyway, that's a whole other story. And as much as there is an advantage to being able to get those things and do that, I got this I've noticed. Y'all shorter folks, how often you smack your head on something? When there's something on the floor, it's a lot further down for us. I've got a lot more to get up. So, you know, I've got this opinion. Shorter is better. Or at least the same. We've sometimes get this wrong idea in our minds that this position or that position is better. Especially if we're in what we consider the worst one off. And James is talking about that today, and this is talking about the richer and the poor. What is better? And in our society, we often think that richer is better. In fact, that's been sort of the idea throughout time. The richer you are, the better you are. But James starts off and says, the brother, the believer of humble circumstance, i.e. broke. You don't have much. You can't fix it. They ought to be happy about that. Have pride in that. Well, this isn't talking about the pride that says, how good I am because I'm poor. No. This is a feeling of worth because I've got something that's advantageous. Now, we often think of poor, we don't think of somebody having poor, of having more of something. Poor is always less of. But when we look at scriptures, God has a special place, it seems, for the poor. In Matthew chapter 5, it speaks of the blessed are the poor in spirit. Luke says, in the Sermon on the Plain says, blessed are the poor. God is saying that being poor or being without is necessarily good. But it's kind of like this. If you realize you don't have something, you know you've got to look for help. It's like if you're sick, you kind of feel this feeling you need to go to the doctor. One of the most dangerous things that can happen is if you have an ailment that has no signs. We've all heard of those stories, haven't we? Somebody thought, I felt good. And then all of a sudden they died. What happened? They had this thing in their heart they didn't know they had. They had this aneurysm in their brain they never knew they had. There was no sign. And boom, they were gone. But when you've got something that says, hey, there's a problem, and poverty points out you've got a problem. Now, I want to be honest here. In our culture in the West, we're pretty rich. We've talked about this a little before. But we still need to understand sometimes there's an advantage to not having. And that advantage is we're not depending on ourselves. We're looking to God to take care of the problem. Proverbs 11:4 says, wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. By the way, not poverty, righteousness. If you're a poor, wicked person, you're just as bad off as a rich, wicked person. The reason Jesus had such success with the poor and the wretched and the sinner is because they knew they were poor. They knew they were wretched. They knew they were sinners. The ones who were self-righteous, the ones who had wealth, they thought they had everything. So they didn't need Jesus. And all that wealth does you no good in the day of wrath. The richest man in Jerusalem at 70 AD was in trouble because he was stuck in a city, and if the Romans knew you might have wealth, they would kill you to get it. Partially because they thought you might try to swallow your wealth, so they would open you up to see if you swallowed any. Yeah, it was a bad time. During World War II, the wealthy people who lived in Germany, that wealth didn't happen. Help them when Berlin fell. Especially if they lived in East Berlin. Wealth can help sometimes, but it doesn't help you really. But if you're poor, God is your defender. Scripture says this. Proverbs 18:11 says, the wealth of the rich is their fortified city. They imagine it a wall too high to scale. They think they're okay. But verse 12 goes on and says, before downfall is a haughty heart, but humility comes before honor. When you don't have anything, you don't have much to be proud of. And it's easier to go before God and say, I need help. Because guess what? You've got no place else to turn. Why is it that people come to God more often when they have tragedies in their life? Because they've been knocked down and then all of a sudden they realize the truth of life. They need something more. They needed something more before this happened. But now that they've been knocked down, now that they've been humbled, they realize they need something. They need God. So there's an advantage to being poor. Now, Scripture does also say that a rich man's wealth is his strong city. In other words, there is some protection. And the destruction of the poverty of the poor is their poverty. Yes. If you're broke, it's going to hurt you. It's going to be hard. But there's help. And that help comes from God. And at the end of the day, it is far better to be right with God than to have all the wealth of the world. Jesus himself said, what good is a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? But if you're poor, you realize you need help. And that is a blessing. The key is for someone who is a Christian is if God blesses them in material things, if they can continue to hold on to that mindset that this stuff isn't going to save me, only God's going to save me. That is what's going to save you. That's what's going to make you truly successful. But there's a disadvantage for being wealthy. The first and foremost we often think about is if those who have wealth have pride, arrogance. What I've got. This Mercedes cost me $2.68. Why? Because it's a matchbox car I got at Walmart. Yeah, a Mercedes. I look at them when they drive by. But I'm trying to be honest. I'm not a car person, so I don't care. I think there's some cool cars out there. That's often in our culture a status symbol, right? You've got a nice car. You're looking cool. Hey, look what I got. I earned this. Look at my house. Look what I got. Oh, yep. We got a problem. Here's the money. We'll take care of it. Yep. I did this. Problem with that is pride and arrogance keeps you from God. And there's always that tendency, always that danger when you have wealth to think that wealth will solve your problems. And because you've got it, you're good. It teaches you, if you have wealth, that you can depend on yourself. And you know, in one sense, the idea of self-reliance is a good thing. You don't want to, unless you have to, you don't want to be a burden on anyone else. You need to try to carry your own weight. But the problem with that is you start carrying weight that isn't yours. Like, I can straighten myself out. No, you can't. Only God can straighten you out. I can fix my kids. No, you can't. Only God can. I've got the money. I can fix it. We all know that isn't true. How many people we know that are wealthy and have families that are just in distraught and a wreck? Money didn't fix it, and it won't fix it. In fact, money sometimes can be the part of the problem. If you got money, you can feed your addictions. If you're an addict, if you're broke, you can't do that. Because here's the thing: if you've got money, it opens up the opportunity to do things that others might be able to. If you're wealthy, you can travel to Vegas, and so, you know what they used to say: what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And you got the money to kind of do whatever you like, and hopefully nobody will find out about it. Yeah, that's a dream. It's a lie. But wealth makes you think you can do it. I have power. I have the wealth. I can do what I want. And if it comes up, I can cover it up. You might be able to cover up from the world. You might be able to cover it from your family, but guess what? You can never cover it up from yourself, and you can never cover it up from God. And that stain on your soul will follow you for the rest of your life unless you have God take it off. And sometimes we have an advantage if we're broke because we can't get into trouble. I'm not tempted to go off to the Bahamas and get myself into trouble. Why? I can't hardly afford to make it to Terre Haute very well, the Bahamas. Not to mention, if I tried to take off further than that, my wife would grab the bank account because she controls the thing. I don't have the opportunity. In one sense, I'm blessed. I'm not this... We're talking in Bible study about Absalom. Absalom had this gorgeous hair, and somebody says, you've got a problem with people with hair. It's like, what makes you think that? He's a good-looking young man. Lots of good hair. Just, yeah, think of how good I am. You know, he had people throwing himself at him. And, you know, I've never had that problem. I haven't had people look at me and say, wow, you're so hot. Nope, not a problem. I'm poor in that area. And that's probably a good thing. There's an advantage to being broke. In lots of areas of our lives. Where if we have those things, We can take pride in it, and they can lead us into trouble. And because we also have to remember, ultimately, all whatever wealth, advantage we think we have is utterly useless in the end. As we read about in Proverbs, wealth is worthless in the day of wrath. Yeah, you may think you got away with everything in this life, but there's coming a judgment, and you're not getting away from God. No matter how much you have, it doesn't matter. And if you want to save someone else or help someone else, no matter how much money you have, it won't help. Proverbs 49, 7 through 9 says, "No one can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for them. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough. So they should live on forever and not see decay." No matter how much money you have, we talked about a few minutes ago, it can't save those around you. It can't fix their problems. The problem with wealth and the problem with rich people is we think money solves everything. I was actually in my office today thinking about this message, and I realized that's part of the problem we have in this country. We think if we just throw money at the problem, it'll solve it. If we give this person money, it'll solve the problem. Give that person money, it'll solve the problem. No, it won't. Now, are there issues that need money to take care of things? Absolutely. I'm not saying that. But if we think that money is going to solve the problems of poverty in this country, you're wrong. It won't. If you think poverty will solve the problem of homelessness in this country, it won't. If you think money is going to solve the problems of addictions in this country, it won't. If you think money is going to solve the problem of racism in this country, it's not going to. It never has. It never will. Your problems, our problems, ultimately cannot be fixed by money. It may help in the short term to take care of an issue, but our overall problems in our lives are not going to be handled by just being given more money. It's not the solution. And the problem with being wealthy is we think if we just put the right amount of cash in it, it'll take care of the problem. And what we really need to put into the situation, into the problems in life, is God. Say, well, God can't help. Yes, He can. How can God help poverty? Teach people responsibility, self-worth. Teach them their value. It can help people who mishandle money learn to handle it right when they look at how they should handle money according to the way God would want them to. For those who can't work, it gives them hope because they know that God will take care of them and should bring them into a family of God that will help them take care of them when they are on their lowest. The solution to our problems is not wealth, it's God. And so if we don't have a lot, we should be happy. Because here's the other issue. In Luke chapter 12, verse 48 says, "Therefore, for everyone who's been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who's been entrusted with much, much more will be asked." If you've got more, God expects more out of you. So money isn't a ticket to freedom. Money is a chain that will hold you down. Say, that sounds a little wrong. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians. He says, "You, when you were slaves, you were called out. Do not let it trouble you. Although you can gain your freedom, do so. For one who is a slave has been called to faith in the Lord is the Lord's free person. Similarly, the one who is free has been called God's Christ's slave. You've been bought at a price. Do not become the slaves of human beings. If you are free, if you have wealth, and let me tell you something, wealth gives you freedom, then you are God's slave. You required more out of you. If you own a business, all of a sudden you're not just, oh, I get the money. No, you have a responsibility to treat your employees right. Sometimes that could be a bear. That could be a real bear. All of a sudden you have responsibilities to be fair to your community. I'm not saying that your idea that you should just give stuff away. No, you should make a profit. But there's a responsibility, and there's a burden with that. If you've got a car, there's a burden connected to that. Because guess what? They get upset when you start driving into other people's houses. Wouldn't you think that's true? Somebody drove into your house, you'd kind of be upset about that, right? There's a responsibility. There are things that I can't do. Yes, I have this wealth, I have this freedom, but now there's a responsibility that comes with that. We need to understand, we need to realize that if we don't have, there is a blessing with that. And if we do have, there's a burden with that. Bible commentator Charles Elcott wrote, "There is a wide misapprehension of our state of trial. The poor and humble are apt to forget the honor thus safe vouched to them." In other words, something that is given to them. "Worthier in truth than wealth of this world, which can quickly fade. And the rich and noble are often unmindful of the true source of their dignity, and that whomever much is given, of him much more shall be required." The problem when we think we have stuff is we become self-reliant. We look to ourselves and we forget that if we've been given something, God requires something from us. Therefore, if you feel like you're poor today, celebrate. There's a gift in that. If you'll take it. If you're rich, and God, let me tell you something again, by the world's standards, ain't none of you in here poor. Now, your sense of humor may be poor. Your looks may be broke. But by the world's standards, we're doing really well. We have to guard ourselves and remember who we need to truly lean on and who we truly need to look to for our security, for our safety, and for our provision. Yes, God does want us to work. Yes, God does want us to be involved and do things. He has responsibility for things he wants us to do. But even in that, God gives you the strength. And if you don't think so, talk to someone who has uncontrolled migraines. You think you're doing good one moment, and the next moment, you feel like you've been shot. You think you're healthy and everything's going great? Then you have a wealth there. and use it wisely. James is a very practical book. How should we look at things and how we need to live our lives? And as he's starting out here, and through a lot of the book of James, he's going to beat up on the wealthy a bit. But that's because we're in so much danger. We've got so much going wrong that can go wrong, that can lead us astray, than those who don't have. So James warns us, watch out. Watch out. Be humble. Be humble. And realize who you need to be truly looking toward. Because when we start looking to save ourselves, that's the first that's the starting point to the road to hell. I can save myself. I can fix this. Why? Because in a very real sense, we're saying, I'm God. And let's be honest. The thing that we really hate about rich is because they think they're God and they can do what they want. The thing about it is, it's not just the, quote, rich that do that. We all can do that if we're not careful. Let's have the attitude and humility of those who are poor, because that is where the true riches lie. Dear Father, I ask you right now to move in our hearts and our lives. Help us, Lord, to focus on what you want us to be. And Lord, help us to be humble of heart. Let us be poor of spirit and realize that the riches we need come ultimately from you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, Father, I ask that you go with each one as they leave this place today. Continue to do great things in their hearts and their lives. And Lord, make them into what you want them to be. And let them be a witness to this community, I ask. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless and go with God.